If today was your last day, tomorrow was too late. Could you say goodbye to yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in. 6:10, good morning. Hi, Steve Cochran. And we get cranked up, show 611. 611 shows. It's no wonder I'm tired. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Text and phone calls at 312-981-7200. Mary Sandberg flying the plane for the most part this morning. Ross Cochran here as well. Getting it done as always. And an interloper. Did you see who's here with us this morning?
I did see who's here with us. He's from the sports department.
WDN Sports Zone. Mike, you want to introduce him? He's one of your guys.
Yeah, Mike Jacobson.
We like Mike.
Mike is the executive producer of The Beat. And also
survived working with Kaplan for a couple of years.
He did the Cap and Haw show, and a veteran of that. And
nice to see Mike.
You hear him on the air once in a while doing the sports. He'll be on later on this morning. So,
and that is his real voice.
It's his real voice. He's kind of got, I think he might be related to Orion.
I think he's Orion's son.
He's got the deepest voice, and it doesn't match his physique. I hate to say
no,
it.
No, he's very feminine.
No.
Yes.
He's just little. Not little, but I don't know how to describe him.
I saw features.
He's cute. He's cute.
I like Mike. He's a good dude.
Yes.
All right. For refreshing little election news yesterday. I think everybody involved with the election was watching the day one festivities of March Madness as well. As Dave mentioned, the big news were a couple of 5-12 upsets. But there was really no upsets to speak of last night. There was a couple of 8-9s, right?
Thank you. First time on the radio. Mm-hmm. A couple of 11 seeds won last night.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, although one of them in Wichita State, which had to play a play-in game, they had to play a first four
the
game.
The Shockers?
On Tuesday, the Shockers. But the Shockers always do well in the tournament. I mean,
Wichita State and Gonzaga, you're almost always good if you go with both of them.
Yeah, and they both won. But still, it's hard to win. You go to Dayton, so you get you find out the bracket on Sunday. You have to turn around and play 48 hours later. You have to travel to Dayton. Then you have to travel, in their case, from Dayton to Providence and play the sixth-seeded Arizona team. And they handled them pretty easily.
Yeah, and I had Arizona going deep. So how that's going to work out for me.
I think you might be. Well, I had Purdue going deep, and that's done.
So yeah, everybody's Purdue thing has failed, I think. They really screwed up everyone's brackets.
We have the story behind all 68 March mascots.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so we may do a little mascot bowl morning. But the big games today, big matchups today, anything catching your eye?
Well,
Duke normally gets knocked out in the first round if you're not paying attention. They squeaked out yesterday.
Yeah, they were down at halftime and came back. North Carolina had a little, it was close in the first half against Florida Gulf Coast. As far as today, I think the interesting matchup tonight in Brooklyn, Michigan-Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't play each other in football anymore.
Right.
But they're going to play in basketball. And it's so kind of unique. Wisconsin, which has been a good story this year, plays against Pittsburgh later on today. So it's good matchups. And we'll get our first look at the other number one seed, Oregon. They will take on Bill Carmody and Holy Cross tonight out in Spokane.
Now, you worked with Bill Carmody at Northwestern forever.
Yes. 13 years he was there.
And when he was fired here, it appeared that it was just time to make a change in the program, and Chris Collins is available, and those things sort of happen. Having said that, Carmody's a very good coach.
He's a terrific coach. And I don't think Chris Collins would have come in and taken the job at Northwestern, and he said this, if it wasn't for the progress that they made during the time Bill Carmody was here. And they came close a few times to breaking through and just couldn't quite get that one or two wins they needed to get to the NCAAs. But he's an excellent coach, excellent person. I'm really happy for him that this is his first year at Holy Cross. They hadn't been in the tournament in over, like, since 1953, I think.
It's a Larry Brown kind of move. The great coach Larry Brown, who goes anywhere he goes, he wins.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to take a new program, regardless of what talent's on the team, and win in your first year.
Well, and this is a program with a lot of history, but they had not been doing well. And they still didn't. I mean, they only won, I think, 13 regular season games this year, but then they got hot at the right time. They had to win four straight road games in their conference tournament.
And did it.
And did they beat the top seed in their second game and then went right through the conference tournament and then won the other night against Southern. So good luck to them against Oregon.
Heading into the weekend, lots of sports news today, including, in case you missed it, Corey Crawford with an upper body injury. Day-to-day is a good sound. We didn't want to hear is we'll reevaluate in words like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. And hopefully it's nothing long-term. It doesn't sound like it is. But in the meantime, it's Scott Darling's job.
I think Darling is going to impress over the next few because he hasn't had any stretch where he's been able to stay in the net because Crawford's been so good.
Right, right.
So he's played spotty. He's played the back ends of night-to-night two-game situations. Mm-hmm. And he has not had his best season. He's been fine, mm-hmm. but not as good as he was last year. But he hasn't gotten much time between the pipes. So I think he'll be strong tonight. And Michael Layton, who's 112 years old, has been killing it in Rockford.
Yeah.
And he's now the number two until Corey comes back.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those. They re-signed him over the summer, and you kind of thought, well, okay, what do they need him? They got Darling, but remember last year it was Darling and Antti Niemi. You know, so they had, and then ended up Darling edged past Niemi and took the number two job. So we'll see. They really need a win tonight. Remember we were talking about Nashville, and Q brought this up, that Nashville, look out for Nashville. It was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. 3 points behind the Hawks.
Yeah, they're right there. Breathing down our necks with their stupid vomit yellow sweaters that they wear. I don't know what we're going to call it. Is it LaRoche Gate? Is it Take Your Son to Work Forever Gate? Is it... the White Sox mess continues. We have some news on that, and Kevin Powell is in the desert covering the White Sox and the Cubs, and he'll be on in the 7 o'clock hour this morning, along with some pretty strong words from Senator Mark Kirk at 7:10 in an interview I did with him just after the show yesterday. All right, 6:17. Let's do this. Mary's here with your traffic trouble spots. What's happening?
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weather Makers.
It's the time of the show.
Lou Manfredini joins us. Good morning, Lou. How are you? Everything fine?
He sounds cheery.
We appear to be wired up here. Lou, over. All right, we'll get Lou on the phone.
I'm right here.
There he is,
Dan. Here I am.
Yeah. Did you forget to turn up your situation?
No, I had the situation all turned up, and it seems that there was... some little hiccup.
Thank God this show's not live.
Yeah. You want to start now? 3, 2.
And we're back with Lou Manfredini.
Hi, Steve. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, fantastic to talk to you.
Isn't this show 611?
This is show number 611. Okay. 611. Please make a note of it. I had DeCastro, Jimmy DeCastro, the guy who runs this place, at one point, I don't know, a week or so ago, goes, what do you number all the shows for, idiot? And I said, so I can
He's
know
very
which,
professional.
So I could know what show you called me an idiot and sue you.
Right.
It was on show 611.
Right. Right. You do it for the lawyers, don't you?
It's all legal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful.
Right.
All right. We got a bunch of people standing by on the phone. Let's go with our first caller right off the bat here, and that's John. John, for being the first caller on the show, you're a big winner. I'll tell you what you won here in a second from our friends at American Weathermakers. But what's your question for Lou?
Hey, how's it going today?
I assume it's going well. Lou, how's it going today?
It's great. It's going great.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyways, my mom's got a small mouth problem. And we were thinking they were coming from the bird seed.
Like moths.
To get rid of them.
You mean moths?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said your mom had a small mouth. I was going, well, this isn't a dentist.
I thought it was a mouth, too. No, wait. Did we say moth or mice?
Moth.
Moth.
M-O-T-H-S, moths.
M-O-T-A.
Got small moths in a house. Thank you, John.
I was really wondering where I was going to go with the small mouth problem.
Hold on, John. Orthodontist calls will be in the next hour. Stand by.
That would be, I got to remember that because that would be when people say, what's the strangest question you ever had? Well, I had this guy call in once that said he had a small mouth. Well, the moth problem is, you know, it's not the moths that are the issue. It's the larvae before them. And so depending on where she's storing that bird seed, if she's storing it inside, then we got to store it outside. I would assume that's why there's a problem, because if they're outside, who cares? So we got to make sure that all that gets cleaned up. If it's staying, it's inside a pantry or something like that, sweep that all out, clean it all out, wipe it all down, and then use a container that snaps shut securely. Because if you store things, bird seed in a garage or in a storage shed, mice can get into it, or rodents like squirrels will work their way into that bird seed. So you want it in a container that you can put a nice strong lid on to keep them out.
What about smallmouth? Any thoughts on that, or you want to tackle that later?
You know, I think that you could do some stretching exercises, perhaps.
Yeah. I don't know that a smallmouth is a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I have a really good friend that has a trick that she can do and put her lips around like a ball jar. It's one of the most interesting things you've ever seen.
You know what? I got to tell you something. Nick DiGilio just hit the lottery. Lou Manfredini just made Straight Out of Context on the Nick DiGilio show.
It's taken me 20 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Quite an accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited.
John, you've won an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland indoor comfort. American Weathermakers take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com.
Wrap your mouth around that.
Now you made it twice. That'll both make it. Please notify Nick that Lou's entire segment is available.
I'm glad I could help.
Lori, what's your issue?
I bought an old farmhouse, and the hallway and the bedroom, I want to leave hardwood. It's not in bad shape structurally, but it looks kind of not good. And I just wondered if there was a way to make it look okay without stripping and sanding and that.
When you say it's not in the greatest shape, is it a discoloration or is it the finish itself that's bad?
It's mostly a discoloration, a few scratches.
Okay. Well, if you want to just try something to spruce it up, there's a product called Rejuvenate, which is a floor coating that's a urethane coating that you can mop on to the existing floor to sort of straighten up the finish a little bit. It's a $12 bottle that you can squirt onto the floor, use a microfiber mop, and it will brighten up the floor. And it'll probably blend in the coloration a little bit. It's not, you know, it's not going to be like resanding the floor, but you may be surprised at how nice it looks. And for $12, if it doesn't work, well, you're just out $12.
There's a bunch of Rejuvenate products, aren't there?
There's a whole slew of them. There's products for countertops. There's products for tile. They have a soap scum remover. So they have this full line, and the products have been really well received. Quite frankly, their best product, in my opinion, is this Rejuvenate for the wood floor. People have gotten terrific results with it.
One more on the phone, and then we'll check the text. It's Nick. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Terrific. You got a basement problem?
Well, sort of. I got our house is up for sale, and I had one of the realtors mention in our utility room where the floor pad beats the foundation wall, there's a small crack, you know, a seam pretty much. And he had mentioned that needs to get sealed up. Would there be an issue with that where the floor pad beats the wall?
Well, if there's a crack that you can see when you go to sell this home, I mean, are you getting any water through that crack?
No, not at all. That's the thing. It's completely dry.
All right, and is it a small hairline crack?
Oh yeah, I mean less than a 16th of an inch maybe. Yeah.
I doubt, you know, if you have a dry basement and you've certified that the basement is dry, which you have to do when you go to sell.
Yep.
Then I mean that small little hairline crack is not a huge deal. I mean, certainly, you know, if you're going to seal the crack with, you know, if it's a hairline crack, you could, and there's no water there, you could put some hydraulic cement over the top of it. But the problem is when you go to patch it, then it becomes an issue when an inspector comes by and says, hey, what's that patch? Who did that patch? And they're like, patch. Well, what did you use? And if it's a hairline crack and it's not, there's no water coming through, then I honestly don't think that it's worth the time to do anything or to try and cover it up. If there's a water issue, then you call someone like PermaSeal to come out and seal it up, and then you get this transferable warranty that you can say to the homeowner or the potential buyer, rather, hey, look at this, I got this fixed, and you get this warranty. But no water, hairline crack, concrete, you know, we're all going to die, we're all going to pay taxes, and concrete cracks.
And nobody will ever steal it.
Yeah, right. That's a good point of that. All right, thanks, man. Hold on. Give Nick something for his crack. Well, that came out wrong. Give Nick something for his basement.
There's something else that's going to make out of context.
I had seepage in my basement.
And that's not PermaSeal. 800-421-SEAL.
And seepage might sound like a heavy metal band, but it was actually, you know, hairline cracks in the wall, several of them, as a matter of fact, and PermaSeal fixed it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, Steve. I mean, if there's water coming through, then you got to fix it.
But I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was really, really fine moisture, but it was causing a problem.
Right. It causes odor. It can cause mold and mildew issues. And, I mean, I think a lot of people, what happens is, it's funny, I was just working with the folks at PermaSeal. You know, so many people live with a little bit of wetness, and they're like, ah, you know, it only, my basement really only leaks when the rain comes out of the west, you know, and it's like, okay, well, why do you want to live with that? Because sometimes those repairs are just a few $100s and then you're done.
Yeah.
Then you're not worried about it.
Or if you wait, they're a lot more than a few $100.
Exactly.
You got a busy day tomorrow. Well, actually, let me get a couple of texts in here real quick. Lou, can I use Rejuvenate on a piece of furniture? It's an old dresser.
You can. They have a specific product for furniture.
Okay, that's the 224 from the 847. Soap scum on a shower door. I use several products, but it never seems to really clean the glass. What do you recommend?
Well, I mean, not to sit here and do free commercials for Rejuvenate, but they make a soap scum remover as well. And there's a brand new product that I just saw at the Ace show that I cannot think of the name of it right now, but I know it's coming. And it was invented by this guy that was in the glass business, and it's supposed to be the bee's knees. I have not tried it yet, so as soon as I get a sample, I'm going to give it a shot, and then keep listening on Saturdays, and I'll tell you what it is.
574, Lou Cama, L-U-C-A-M-A?
Cameo?
Lou Cama, we're having new siding put on the house. Is that like your nickname, Lou Cama?
No.
Is there any scrap value in our current aluminum siding, and should we negotiate with the contractor to have that built into the price of the new siding project?
Well, I mean, if they're going to pull the old aluminum, typically the folks recycle it themselves. Commodity prices, as you know, like oil prices have been down, the scrappers, and you know, one of the dirty little secrets about what's going on is the recycling companies and the scrappers are not making any money because commodity prices are way down. So actually, right now, that stuff's not worth a whole heck of a lot.
Wind damage on the roof shingles blew off. A recommendation in the northwest suburbs for a roofer or a shingler?
Well, I would contact your insurance agent because you probably have a claim there when it's wind damage. So I'd start there. There's a company that's been around for a long time on the south side, but they go all over the place called Rogers Roofing. And you could contact them or the National Roofing Contractors Association, which is nrca.net, to find a contractor member near you.
Last one, 630, I love Lou. Bay leaves on pantry shelves get rid of critters.
And they're fantastic on pasta, too.
The critters or the bay leaves?
Both.
All right, so tomorrow, where are you?
Oh, well, I'm down in Midlothian as part of the Hometown Voices Tour, sponsored by Allstate, at Bartolini's. I understand that you have already sampled or held. I heard you pulled a muscle holding the damn sandwich.
Well, I got to tell you right now, the meatballs were fantastic. Out of context.
Wrap your mouth around that.
Hello. So, and then you finish there and go where?
Then I'm done with in Midlothian, and then I take the WGN helicopter. Sarah Jindra is going to pick me up in the helicopter.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to fly up to Vernon Hills, where I'm going to be from noon to one at By the Yard, which is this awesome recycled furniture manufacturer for outdoor furniture. And they make all their stuff out of recycled milk jugs.
It's Lou Manfredini. If you'd like to hire him for a elective surgery, possibly you know, bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, bris, just call me. Sponsored by American Weathermakers. Have a great weekend, buddy.
L'chaim.
Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Listening to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
6:44. Look, the lack of election news yesterday was pretty delightful. There was a private meeting held amongst conservative, in quotes, conservative Republicans to try to figure out what to do about the Trump issue. And what to do about the Trump issue means, would you allow Donald Trump to become the nominee? Or are you going to try to do something to subvert the rules, write new rules, or just be prepared for a contested convention? It was a closed-door meeting. Not a lot of information came out of it, but the fact that the meeting took place has angered a lot of Trump followers. But almost nothing from Trump yesterday. And the fact that he didn't shoot his mouth off about something was rather surprising. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton continues to be the front runner, while Bernie Sanders continues to say, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and the fat lady isn't even warming up yet. I expect it to get louder today and into the weekend. I assume that Trump just took the day off yesterday.
St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
I don't know.
First day of the tournament?
Was he in a parade anywhere or anything?
I don't know. You know, he was in the Israeli Day Parade once.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that in the debate when he said,
"That's awkward.
I have the best relationship with Israel because I was the Grand Marshal of the Israeli Day Parade." You know, I have the best relationship with Israel because my accountant's Jewish. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 6:45, Mayor. Why don't you update the traffic? Speaking of money, Elise Glink will be with us here in just a little bit. What are the cars doing?
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Elise Glink in a moment. We'll talk a little money here. Next hour, Mark Kirk. We're going to play back the interview I did with him right after the show yesterday at about 7:10. And Senator Kirk, when I asked him about Merrick Garland, the Supreme Court nominee of President Obama, that the Republican Party so far has said, the Senate Republicans so far have said they won't even consider, Kirk had a very interesting comment that you need to hear. It'll be at 7:10. At 7:20, we're going to give away Hawks tickets. And then 7:40, we go to the desert to see the latest. And what do you like, Dave? LaRoche Gate, Take Your Son to Work Forever Day?
I like that one. I guess we need to shorten it, probably.
I guess probably it's a long name. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, there's a guy who used to be a producer for Mark Sapelsa in television. He got a little tired of, you know, schlepping Sapelsa's hairpiece around. And he was dabbling in writing movie scripts. Well, he had a couple of minor hits already. And guess what he co-wrote? Zootopia.
Really?
Zootopia. Already being hailed as the best film of the year. I know it's only March. But a huge, huge movie. Huge box office. Anyway, his name's Phil Johnston. He'll be on this morning. And then my old friend Pat O'Brien, that knucklehead, Pat O'Brien will be on after 9 talking about the tournament. At 7:51, let me go to my friend Elise Glink. Good morning, Ms. Glink.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you have a big weekend ahead.
You know, it's spring break. I think that half the city is heading to the airport right now. The other half is still in bed going, what the heck? I'm not getting up. I'm on vacation.
Are you going anywhere?
We are. We are heading to the airport now, where I'm sure we'll stand in a very long line and hope that the plane doesn't leave before us.
Yeah, good times there. And what part of the world will you be going to? Are you going south, I assume, somewhere warm?
We are. We're going to go south and see a little sunshine in Mexico.
Nice. Very nice. Now, if Trump builds the wall before you come back, are your kids good climbers?
You know, we've trained them. They're like Spider-Men, right? They just can go straight up.
Good.
Straight up.
Meanwhile, you and your husband, I'm sure, have hired somebody to catapult you over the Trump wall.
You know, our backs just can't take that kind of stress anymore. No, we're going to have to figure out what we can do. It's going to be an interesting process, right? It was an interesting week looking at between what was going on with oil, rising prices. Did everybody notice that the gas prices went straight up this week?
Yeah, I think everybody noticed. When you combine that with the mystery of the summer blend that the oil companies always tell you we have to have, the summer blend of gasoline, What are we looking at here? Are we looking at getting back to the high twos, or is it going to stabilize?
I think we're going to be at about $2 a gallon for a while, somewhere around there, a little bit lower maybe. And then it'll probably, as we head towards the summer, head up. But I think there's so much focus right now on what's going on with the presidential election that it's probably confounding most of the commodity markets.
Speaking of the commodities, what's up? What's up with gold? Is it a buy? Is it leave it alone? You know, I got out of gold at just the right time a couple of years ago. Do I need to get back in?
I think gold is really cyclical, and you could certainly not see it going much lower than it has been. It's been slowly rising. You know, gold is one of those things that people hedge. When the world is crazy, people say, oh, then there's that yellow shiny stuff. So, I think as part of a portfolio, you could have a little bit of it. I wouldn't weigh down my boat with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I do, because I'm not a strong swimmer. And then let's end on, before you jump on the plane, on your sweet spot, which is real estate. The mortgage rates are still low. We talk about that almost every single week. But what's the real estate takeaway you want to give us for the week?
You know, it's interesting. The market is very hot for anything going up to about, you know, $500,000 in the city. And when I started writing about real estate, oh, low, these many years ago, that was a lot of money. But today, in today's Chicago real estate market, it isn't that much money. What you're seeing is a dramatic slowdown in the homes priced at $1.5 million and above. And we do have quite a number of those houses. Right now, they're just sort of sitting there. And you'd think with low interest rates, they'd get snapped up. But I think we may be reaching the saturation point for very high-end real estate. One bright spot this week, new home construction is actually zooming ahead for a change, which is terrific. I saw that new housing starts were somewhere in the 800,000 range this week. That's up significantly from where they were throughout the Great Recession. It's not quite where we need it to be. There's still, especially in the first-time buyer range, but it was nice to see that people are actually getting out there building homes and selling homes.
As we get into the weeks ahead, we'll talk more about this. But next week, just make a mental note, next week or the week after, I don't know when we're back on, I want to talk to you about which of the presidential candidates you're most encouraged by economically and which scares the hell out of you as far as handling America's economic policy and future goes. But in the meantime, enjoy your spring break. Have fun.
Hey, thanks. I will, and I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. ThinkGlink.com and @Glink is where you can find her all over social media. That's Elise, 656. Steve Cochran Show continues next, 720 WGN. It's funny, I was just looking at the text line. We love texts from you guys all the time, anytime, about anything on your mind. 312-981-7200. And Dave, you get this question, I get this question in public, and it generally goes this way. What are you guys thinking? You gave up the Cubs? The backstory on this gets a little weighty, but the bottom line is this. Every business has to run a business to turn a profit or in the best business interests of that business. We were partners with the Cubs for, what was it, 80 years?
90.
90 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly challenging a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no feasible way to make the math work going forward with the Cubs. When CBS bought the rights to the Cubs, they were able to spread the cost of the Cubs over several radio stations. So in the same way that a single business dealing with a partner has greater expenses than a business that has five different budgets that they can spread the cost of that transaction out, that's essentially what we're dealing with, along with the fact that the Cubs were looking to take us to the cleaners. And frankly, they took CBS to the cleaners. So it's not as easy as it sounds because the Cubs are winning that it automatically turns into profit. Do I wish we still had the Cubs? Of course I do. So does everybody here.
Right.
But the Cubs decided that there was a price they wouldn't budge on, and we then decided we couldn't make that happen. So we wish Pat and Ron Coomer and the Cubs all the best. So, but that's the answer to the question for those of you who sometimes go, why aren't the Cubs on GN anymore? And if they switch stations again, they're on. They switch every couple of weeks.
I think right now
they're on the Uber app. I think that's where you can pick them up.
Hard to find the Cubs.
But I wish them well. And I am out of the prediction business.
Yes, after the 72-win prediction last year. Bring that up.
I also, and by the way, I wasn't the only one, but I also am one of the people that predicted Trump would be out by Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, so. And you weren't the only
one. Got a hot year. Seven ten in the morning. I want to thank Office Designs in Northbrook, our new chair partner. More on that coming up in a little bit. Remember, Dave Ennett and I were going to have a chair off. Office Designs in Northbrook has got new chairs in the studio, and it's appreciated.
They're fantastic.
We were actually previous to that, we were sitting on yoga mats, so it's good to actually have chairs again.
Or fitness balls.
Yeah. Now you made out of context. You know, when you drive around downtown Chicago and sometimes you look up and you see these incredible buildings and you think, well, who's building that? Have you ever stopped to think, well, there's construction workers that go to the top of these things when they don't have floors complete and they don't have walls complete? And is there a more dangerous job? Yesterday in Los Angeles, an electrician fell 53 floors to his death. He was in his second day on the project, fell about 800 feet. From the unfinished Wilshire Grand Center around noon, a building that when it's complete will be the tallest in the West. It's one of the busiest times of the day at one of the busiest intersections in downtown Los Angeles. He had taken off his hard hat, not that it matters at 53 floors, I'm sure, and wasn't wearing a safety harness because it wasn't required for the bottom floors he was working on. I just, you know, you high wire walkers, man, I think about you occasionally. I don't know how you do it. And God bless you, but the thoughts to the and prayers and all the appropriate things to the family of that individual. 53 floors. Thank God you don't have that job, right? 712. Senator Mark Kirk was on with me yesterday after the show. He spoke out about the Supreme Court mess early and often. Listen to the comment he makes to me here during this interview. We're going to play back a good chunk of this here and tell you you can get the rest of it on podcast. Wherever you pick up your podcasts, like TuneIn, subscribe to iTunes or WGNRadio.com or the app. Here's Senator Kirk with me from yesterday on WGN. Senator Mark Kirk joins me, and always a pleasure to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Just fine, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Congratulations on your primary win on Tuesday.
71%. We won all 102 of Illinois' counties.
Should feel very good about that, and now you move on to the race against Tammy Duckworth, who seems like she took the first regular swing at you.
Yeah, I think she pretty strong Democrat there, wants to bring 200,000 Syrian refugees into the country without being vetted. I think that's not wise.
The current state of testing the system is what and where is it weak?
It's weak. Because the FBI director, Mr. Comey, has said, who is a great public servant, who said that there's no Syrian jihadi database that the FBI has been able to put together in Syria in the middle of a war. That we can't, since we have no database, we can't vet these people properly.
And in the midst of all of this, the grave concern is not that we don't want to be humane to those who need to leave the horrible situations they're in. But unless the system is strong, we don't know who could get through.
Right. We have had refugees planning jihad when we brought them in. They were Iraqi refugees, actually, that when they came in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I would say as a military man, ISIS has no air force unless we give it to them. If we bring them straight into the country, then gets over the logistical problems that they have in operating here. I am for having as many ISIS logistic problems as possible to protect the American people.
We will take many, many opportunities throughout the summer and into the fall to talk about things of this nature. But I thought of you the other day when Putin announced that suddenly Russia is pulling out of Syria. What do you make of that?
You know, I thought that mission... Air power against insurgency is not that effective. I thought with 41 aircraft, he would be disappointed in what was going to happen. And he obviously was trying to be the key power broker in the Middle East and kind of leaves that flank open with our Israeli allies. And I wish that we hadn't been so weak in Syria. We should have never... declared a red line and then ignored it. The president made a critical mistake there.
As we go forward through not just your campaign, but the general campaign, there is a lack of partisanship, or I should say there's a ton of partisanship and a lack of an ability to compromise and work with others the way you and Senator Durbin have demonstrated. Are you optimistic or pessimistic going forward about the state of government in this country?
For me, I have one touchstone, and that's the interest of the state of Illinois. We've been working to bring a huge employer to Illinois called the National Geospatial Agency. It does all the satellite intel. And I feel very lucky to be a senator for Illinois that the two men who run NGA, I work for in the Navy, and I know them well. And I think I'm uniquely placed as an advocate for Illinois to bring this huge employer that just got Air Force Base, which is the biggest employer south of I-80.
As we go forward as well in this bizarre 2016 circumstance, you and I have talked about the Supreme Court nominee situation off and on now for a long time, and you were one of the first people to reference it. Where are you on the president's nominee, and where are you going forward?
Right now, some of the Republicans are not even meeting with the nominee, and I will definitely meet with him. I think we should be open-minded, take the chance to grill the nominee on key constitutional subjects. And the key question that I have is, does he see the Constitution as a living document that can be molded or changed at the whim of a judge? I want to see that it's a Constitution is a Constitution that can't be changed that much.
The thing that's really stunning to me is, and you knew Scalia, I'm sure, but Scalia...
I did not know him.
Well, but certainly to his reputation. Scalia was a stark constitutionalist. And the best way to honor Scalia in this case would be to honor the duties of the Constitution as they're written. The Republicans have every power here to hear Garland's case and then decide.
I would just say to my fellow Republicans to man up and, you know, bring this guy and give him hearings. He can't bite you or anything like that. If you don't like what you hear, you can just vote no.
Well said by you. Well said. If people want to know more about the campaign, which website should they go to?
To kirkforsenate.com.
But you should also keep in touch with your senator. I've known Senator Kirk for a long time. He likes hearing from his constituents. He never hides from you. He wants to hear the good news and the bad news going forward.
And the ugly, the good, the bad, the ugly news.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. And next time we talk, we'll go over this presidential contest as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. Steve-O.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. There you go. That's Senator Kirk from yesterday. And again, the headline there is, man up to my Republican Senate colleagues and give the man his hearings. Strong words. 719. Barry's back. She has your traffic trouble spots. What do you have now for us, Mary?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
723. I haven't looked at the brackets yet. I assume everybody is in trouble after those 5-12 and 4-11 upsets.
Not everybody. I am, but not everybody.
Somebody said Anna DeVlantis had a perfect record.
I heard Anna say that she was perfect through the afternoon games, which would have meant including Yale. And we had a lot of people at the station, if you look at the bracket battle.
I don't have that kind of time, Dave. I'm very busy.
I actually saw some of it. It's a little I look at it this way. What does Big O always tell you about looking at your 401k?
Twice a year.
Twice a year. Yeah. I'm going to look at the brackets sometime later this year.
Twice a tournament?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Are you kidding me? I already have mine highlighted, crossed out. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to rock?
Yeah. I'm not doing well, but I'm ready to go.
It's not working out for you, but you are ready to rock.
I don't know. I've got like four wrong.
I have a list of the mascots and how they got their name. In Wichita State was one of the big stories yesterday, right, Dave?
They were. They won for the second time in 3 days. Wichita State knocked off Arizona last night. By the way, do you see Sean Miller, the coach of Arizona?
Are you the sweaty one?
The sweaty guy.
Yeah. I saw that guy.
Sweated through his shirt.
Gross.
Apparently, they had to send the managers back to the hotel to get him another shirt.
Yeah, at halftime. Why doesn't he just bring a couple shirts?
Yeah, I was. Listen,
And it was white shirt.
I've always perspired, and it's part of being alive in most cases. But he's got a medical issue. I mean, he's not a giant guy, and you would think he was well aware of this problem before last night, because he looked like he was breaking his dengue fever or something. It was
he really did.
I mean, it was 10 minutes into the game, and he had sweat through his shirt. You could see his body.
Right.
And if not for a couple of well-placed pockets, it would have been a whole different show.
Yeah, maybe a T-shirt or something underneath might be a good idea if you're going to wear white shirts.
Or put something over
his shirt. It was a very odd thing.
It was.
And it was distracting. Do we know why he was sweating that heavily?
I guess he has a tendency to do that.
Well, but, yeah, I'd say so.
But not, maybe it's being in the tournament. I don't know.
A guy sweating that much should have a Gatorade drip, you know, like an IV in his arm.
Or a fan. Can't we just have a fan, like a Beyonce fan, just right in front of him, you know?
But anyway, Wichita State won that game.
So I have the derivation of several of the mascots for, you know, where did the mascots come from? And Wichita State is what, Dave?
Wichita State is the Shockers.
A nameless shock of wheat rooted for Wichita State until the 1948 newspaper called them the Shockers. I didn't know wheat was called a shock of wheat. Did you?
I've heard that before.
Okay. Well, that's where Shockers comes from. How about the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits?
I knew they're the Jackrabbits. I'm not sure why.
Minneapolis newspaper reporter in 1905 covering the football team said they were quick as Jackrabbits. Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of nicknames started.
Where writers gave them to them?
Writers gave them the names.
Do you know the most common nickname in all of college sports?
Wildcats.
Yeah, Wildcats. That's right. And Dave will have a question for Hawks tickets here in just a second. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
It's a little long.
They were named after Starburst. No, that's not true.
No.
The nickname Rainbow Warriors came about after a upset with Oregon State in 1923 when the Hawaii Fighting Deans beat Oregon State and a rainbow appeared over the stadium.
Wait, the Fighting Deans?
Fighting Deans.
Can't they be
like Dean Richards?
Yeah, it's a scary, scary team when you go, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? The Fighting Deans.
They need to be the Volcanoes or the Lays.
Right? The Lays. I don't know about the Lays. The Lays doesn't sound that powerful.
That would be a little interesting.
How about the Kansas Jayhawks, who I've predicted to go all the way here? Any idea how? Kansas Jayhawks come from Kansas settlers and combines the Kansas Blue Jay and the Sparrowhawk.
Oh, okay.
Wow. See, this information can be very valuable to you as you go to your tournament parties this weekend, and you can show off and tell people you know stuff.
What's a Sparrowhawk?
I don't know.
Is that like a chicken hawk?
I don't know. I do know this, however. The Stephen F. Austin State University Lumberjacks.
Mm-hmm.
The Lumberjacks were the Lumberjack mascot in 1923 came up immediately, but the student now doesn't wear a big furry costume, but was given a beard and a fake axe. They originally gave the Stephen F. Austin mascot a real axe until he tripped and fell into the crowd.
What?
Ouch.
And someone was injured.
Appropriate.
How about the Stony Brook Seawolves?
The
sea wolf is a mythical sea creature. Spotting one is said to be good luck. How do you spot something that's mythical?
That's a good question.
Are there any unicorn mascots teams?
No, but I can get you a University of Tennessee at Chattanooga mock.
Mock?
The mock is short for the mockingbird, the official state of, bird of Tennessee. Ooh, we're playing the mockingbirds.
See, I always thought they were mocks.
Yeah.
I thought it was for water moccasins.
Snakes would be much more vicious.
You would think.
Yeah, I at one point thought it was shoes.
Yeah, not those kinds of mocks.
Very comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
This is one I always wondered about, the University of Pittsburgh Panthers.
Well, again, it's another member of the cat family.
And the Panthers, Pittsburgh Panthers, nice alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, there's not a panther in Pittsburgh. Turns out the Pittsburgh region of Pennsylvania was once overrun with panthers.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Penguins, too, probably.
Yes. Oh. And pirates.
Yeah.
And the panthers ate the penguins, and they died. And then the panthers got sick because panthers shouldn't eat penguins. That's how we figured it out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. How about the Michigan Wolverines?
I always just thought...
Wolves in Michigan?
Two live Wolverines named Bernie and Biff were mascots during the 1927 football season until it was deemed they were too dangerous.
That's not true.
Should have talked to the guy that fell into the crowd with the axe. And that's why the Wolverines went away, but the nickname stayed. And there were Wolverines once all over Michigan.
Well, they have Badgers in Wisconsin, and they're vicious too, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it depends on the season and how you recruited.
I guess.
Yeah. And then the Hoosiers. Do you know about the Hoosiers mascot?
I mean, I've seen the Hoosiers mascot.
They don't have a mascot.
I mean, I've
I don't actually have a mascot.
They're cheerleaders or whatever.
They don't have a mascot. The Hoosiers don't have a mascot, and there's arguments that have gone on forever about why Hoosiers are Indiana is Hoosiers. You know, what's a Hoosier?
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the
There's
first
no
half.
Answer there, though, Steve.
Well,
there
isn't. Yeah.
That's the first half of the tournament field. However, there is an answer to a question that you're about to ask. And if you are the first correct caller at 312-981-7200, you'll get Hawks tickets. What's the question?
All right. The Blackhawks yesterday recalled goaltender Michael Layton from Rockford, where he was the team MVP last year and had won 28 of 46 games this season. But Layton has a special place in Blackhawks history. What is it?
What is Michael Layton's special place in Blackhawk history? Good question. 312-981-7200. First correct caller wins. Back with the big story in a moment on 720 WGN. All right, let's see if we can get to the bottom of LaRoche Gate or Take Your Son to Work Forever Day. As Kevin Powell, longtime producer of this show, until he suddenly just disappeared. I didn't even know where he was, Dave. I turned on the radio and I heard him on with Roe.
Kev?
Yeah. Are you getting
I'm here.
Are you getting the show on your headphones?
I am. I thought you were talking to Dave.
No, I was talking to Dave. I was talking to Dave.
But I'm surprised he didn't know where he was.
No, I didn't know where he was.
Oh, you didn't know where
I'm
going to
get you a script. You're obviously on the wrong page.
I guess so.
Yes. Kevin, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fine. I have exciting news for you. We spent a lot of money on this.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to do a custom theme song for you.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Now, I ordered it from this Hotshot studio last Friday, but there were some shipping problems, so we're only going to be able to use it today.
Okay.
But it still is fantastic.
All right.
All right, go ahead. Roll Kevin's song.
Kevin, where are you? Kevin.
That's you, Kevin.
Where are you? Kevin.
Kevin Powell.
Where are you? Kevin.
You're not where you're supposed to be.
Where are you?
You're cheating on the Cochrane Show.
See what I mean, Kev? It's upbeat.
Right.
You know, really.
Right. How long was that in the works for? Was that like a month production?
Unbelievable. The studios really went nuts on that one.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's the right answer. All right. So, Kevin, what is the story on LaRoche Gate, on Take Your Son to Work Forever Day? What are we doing here?
So, again, we'll backtrack to Tuesday when we got the surprise announcement from Adam LaRoche that he'd be retiring. Wednesday, team president Kenny Williams released a statement saying that he had asked Adam to dial it back a little bit when it came to bringing his son Drake to the clubhouse every day, maybe even to 50% or less. That caused some sort of outburst from Chris Sale and some other players. Apparently Chris Sale went off on Kenny Williams as Williams was addressing the team in the clubhouse. Now, there were some reports that players went to Kenny Williams to complain about it, but Chris Sale has supported Drake. Adam Eaton said on Wednesday that he fully supported Drake being there. So I guess the question moving forward is, if players did complain to Kenny Williams, but then you also have players like Adam Eaton and Chris Sale who are completely upset about the decision, it's sort of a signal that there's some division in the clubhouse, which isn't a great thing when you're 3 weeks out from opening day.
It's not. Now, a couple things here. If you were one of the players, or maybe it was a single player, maybe it was many players, that goes to the boss and says, we like the kid, but come on, this is a little nuts. Kenny Williams isn't going to out you. And if you see that Chris Sale's upset, who's clearly a leader on the team, you're not going to go, "Hey, fellas, it was me."
Right.
So this, again, I'm not. This is not about taking Kenny Williams' side. The business has a choice to operate the way they choose to operate. Did the players somehow feel they were thrown under the bus by Kenny Williams?
Well, I'm not getting that vibe, and we'll see what kind of shakes out today when we're out in Glendale, but. You know, it also goes back to this power structure of the White Sox front office of, there's sort of been kind of a weird relationship with Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn when Williams stepped down from the GM spot in 2012 and gave that position to Rick Hahn. You know, Williams still kind of steps in with these bigger decisions. And if the case was players were actually going to Kenny Williams for this, Now, it could have very well been players went to Robin Ventura or players went to Rick Hahn with this, and Kenny Williams said, "Well, I'll take the bullet here, guys. I'll be the one who comes out and looks like the bad guy instead of Robin Ventura looking like the bad guy or Rick Hahn." So that could very well be the case. We'll see how that shakes out.
Dave, do you have the same read? And for both of you guys, is this the same structure as the Cubs? I mean, Theo, my understanding with Theo was always Theo Wirth didn't want to be the GM because he didn't want to deal with the media. He doesn't like talking to reporters, and he likes to be the genius behind the scenes who's just putting the team together.
Well, I think it's also got to do with, a certain power structure where he's running the entire baseball operation, which supposedly that's what Kenny Williams would be doing too. It's the equivalent. He might not have the exact same
title. So you're on the on-field and off-field side.
Joe Madden addressed this.
In theory,
Joe Madden addressed this yesterday, and the vibe we got in the clubhouse over in Mesa at Sloan Park yesterday, talking to some of the players, and Anthony Rizzo said this, was that this is something that probably should have just been policed by the players. This should just be something the players talk about, and I think that's what set Chris Sale off, and what he said to Kenny Williams was, you're not here every day. You're not in the clubhouse with us every day. That's like their second home, That's their area. And Rizzo said sort of the same thing. This is something that should have been policed by players. And Joe Madden addressed it yesterday. He says he has this lead bull concept in his clubhouse where he'll meet with veterans and sort of leaders on the team, and they'll address it's sort of a state of the team address. They all kind of talk about everything. Including having kids around, including having family around, your friends around. So, for Kenny Williams, and I can understand where Chris Sale's coming from, to have some, management come in who's not with them every day and come in and all of a sudden tell them this news where you've had a kid around who's built relationships with all these players, has his own locker in the clubhouse, and out of nowhere, Kenny Williams comes in and tells them that's not happening. I can see that would upset some players. But again, if Kenny Williams got even one complaint, two complaints, three complaints out of the entire roster, he's got to do something about it.
Well, his job is to act in the best interest of the team, even if he was just making the decision, and whether he's right or wrong. But if he feels like the kid being around is a bad idea, he gets to do that.
I think one thing is clear. It's just been handled terribly. And here's what happens now. The players are going to close ranks. Whether or not there are some players who didn't like having the kid there, the players at this point, no one's going to admit that. And if I were a player, I wouldn't, even if I'd gone to management and said, I don't like having the kid in the clubhouse all the time. It's a distraction, whatever. I don't know why it would be an issue, but whatever. That's their right to say that. If the White Sox get off to a good start, then this thing is going to get forgotten rather quickly. If they get off to a bad start, they now have an excuse. And that's what I think people will look back at this and say, well, they had that thing in spring training where they had the big blow up in the clubhouse over LaRoche's kid, and LaRoche retired. So it's a very tricky situation, but it could end up being kind of an afterthought as long as they go out and win. And
I know it's a different era for the modern athlete, but if I'm Kenny Williams, who's a tough guy, and if I'm Rick Hahn, and if I'm Ventura, I have a team meeting, and I go, knock off the crap. First off, we're not taking this up in the media anymore. This is not going to be discussed anymore in the media. You know, we're sorry it broke out the way it broke out. We're sorry it went down. The decision's been made. Go play baseball.
But you know where I think that has to happen, Steve? It has to happen with the on-field staff. It has to happen with Ventura.
Yeah, maybe
not Williams, not the front office. Has to be the guys in the clubhouse.
I'll talk to them. More with Kevin in a moment, but first let's get to your traffic. And Mary, what do you have? /7:56, Kevin Powell is in the desert. He's out in Arizona wrapping up his week there. What's the Cubs news? Kind of quiet?
Yeah, pretty quiet. They're sort of on cruise control while the White Sox have turned into a mess. So the White Sox stealing all the headlines for all the wrong reasons right now.
All right.
But they will play today at Camelback Ranch, Cubs and Sox.
So I guess that brings us to the obvious, Dave, and that's what the heck has Kevin been doing all week? You know what I mean?
Well, I know he was eating healthy yesterday. I saw that. He texted some pictures of his, I don't know, it was some kind of green drink.
Yeah. It was actually okay. And there was kale in the drink, believe it or not.
Love it.
But I don't know what.
Who are you? Who are you? What have you turned into?
But I'll say this. We got to the Sloan Park, and they have a media dining area, and they fed us corned beef and cabbage. So I had that. And then I had to try the Portillo's at Sloan Park, you know, for quality control reasons to make sure that it was, up to the level that we get out in Chicago. So I tried an Italian beef. So I had corned beef and an Italian beef yesterday.
And your thoughts?
It was great. It tasted just like back home. Very good.
All right. So and Sloan Park, by the way, is the new name of the Cubs Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
How does that compare to the food and the atmosphere at the White Sox Park? Don't the White Sox share it with the Dodgers?
Yes.
They do. And there's a lot of Chicago signs even out in Glendale where the Sox play at Camelback Ranch. A lot of Vienna beef hot dogs. And then, like you said, the Dodgers play there as well. So I had my first Dodger dog. And I also had my last Dodger dog.
Not great?
Not great. But it's a foot-long hot dog, and not great. But
I never understood the original Dodger dog at Chavez Ravine. I never understood the attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't quite. I mean, you know, a hot dog's sort of unique in L.A. maybe in general because it's not an L.A. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, a hot dog at a ball game is always a big deal.
I think it was the alliterative name,
the Dodger dog.
Yeah, I mean it just.
Yeah, and
you know, it nearly killed Vin Scully.
Hey, I don't know. He seems to be doing okay.
Well, that's because somebody gave him the Heimlich. Choked on a Dodger dog. If you had to spend and take away your love of your White Sox, if you had to spend one day in either park, which park would you prefer?
I would go to Sloan Park where the Cubs play. They're sort of calling it Wrigleyville West, and people have T-shirts in the stadium that says that, Wrigleyville West. It's like, you know, the people make the party. Every game I've been to for the Cubs has been sold out. People are scalping tickets outside the stadium for spring training games. Yesterday's attendance, over 15,000. It's a great time there, and it does feel like a little Wrigley. But nothing wrong with Camelback either. I mean, it's a great stadium. It's a newer stadium. But if you had to pick one, I'd probably say spend some time at Sloan Park.
Have you done anything other than baseball? I mean, have you gotten out? Have you, hiked in the hills?
No, I did play a little golf, though.
Oh, good. I had to golf a little bit.
Have you found Andrea?
I did. I saw Andrea yesterday. She had a big sign that says that said "I heart Matt Merton." So she's getting kind of rowdy in the stands.
Oh no, she's still looking for Matt.
So Andrea's in Arizona, and Kevin's in Arizona until when?
I will be flying back late Saturday, so I think I'll be on with Bill and Wendy today. maybe one more hit with Roe, and then I'll spend some time with Carmen and Hogue on the beat tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, that's great. Because we have a staff announcement coming up. But Kevin will be back on Monday. That's tremendous. Kevin will be back on Monday.
Bright and early. Bright and early. He'll be here.
Looking forward to seeing you bright and early on Monday.
Can't wait to see you guys. Miss you.
Just been handed a note. Right. Kevin's going to be doing sports for Roe Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Really? That sounds odd.
But we have those always enjoyable Monday meetings. I'm not going to miss that, so I'll be there early for that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to look into a few things this morning, I think.
What is it about you, Steve?
I don't know. Driving people away from the show left and right.
By the way, I'm working with Roe next week, too.
Are you? Oh, yeah. So, Mary, you doing traffic while traffic's being done?
Yeah, it needs to be done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing a solo show starting on Monday morning. Hey, you've done a nice job this week, dude. So congratulations and really good work by you.
Well, thanks. Thanks to you guys. Thanks for sending me out here. It's been a blast. And like I said, there's still plenty more to come. We'll get plenty of news at Glendale today about La Roche. So go to WGenRadio.com. I'll post some blogs, videos, all that good stuff.
And let's get the kid out of this. I feel bad for the kid because he's the center of this story.
How do I say goodbye to
you know, I worked at, there used to be a radio station in town called WCKG. It was on the air for years. And I worked there for one day. And it's amazing that Mike Jacobson's only going to be on this show for one day because I like him and I thought this would work out okay. They'd occasionally be hanging around. No, thank you, Mike, for that. Ross Cochran's here. Good morning, son. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Are you?
I am. I promise.
Ross Cochran, my beloved son, is leaving the show.
Yes.
Was it something I said?
No, because I would have left a lot sooner if it was.
Because I say a lot.
You do.
Yeah. We're going to reveal where you're going. It's not in this business. Next hour.
Yes.
When your new boss is here.
Yes.
I'm going to introduce you to your new boss next hour. No, it's not like that. But we're going to bring in your new boss and explain what you're doing leaving the show. Coming up, but I just wanted to take a moment to. Do you have the card, Mary, that you wanted to give Ross?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I do. I did not look at Shud.
And I think some people are doing something upstairs for you.
Sure. Which I'm sure was a surprise until you just said it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And in this bag is some, you know, some personal stuff. There's a shirt there you should pull out.
Oh.
Now.
Okay.
Did you wrap that, Stephen, that nice, cute polka dot bag?
Yeah, no, that's his mom.
Yeah,
and just pull the shirt out now, and that sort of sums things up a little bit here before we get to a traffic update.
Should be scary.
What does the shirt say?
The shirt is one of my one of your favorite quotes of mine, which says, "It's hard to work for you when I have to work with you."
Yes, it's a custom shirt for your dining and dancing pleasure.
Yes, yeah, so
photos. And
good luck to all those who are still working for you.
But I do want to say, and Dave,
thanks for us.
Dave and Mary, you can identify with this as parents. I never knew that even though you and I have done stuff on stage together since you were a little kid, I never knew that I would have an opportunity to work with you. It's been, you know, outside of coming back here to work, it's the other great thrill of being here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's total mixed emotions for me because, well, as your dad, I'm really proud of you and what you're going to do next. You know, I'd prefer you not leave the show.
Sure.
So it's tough to support you when I have to support you. But it's the right thing to do, and it's a good thing to do. But I just want you to know publicly, all jokes aside here, and Dave and Mary, you guys have talked about this. Darlis has certainly talked about this. Darlis doesn't accept that you're leaving, by the way.
Right. She left just because she doesn't believe it.
Right. And we don't know what's going on with Kevin at this point. But you have made this show better every day.
Thank you.
And the cool thing about Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley signing off on hiring you was there was never any discussion about narcissism. There was never any discussion about nepotism. There was never any discussion about any other words that started with N's. They saw your value here, and I give credit to the staff too, because if anybody was talking about, oh, Steve brought his son in, They did the right thing. They did it behind my back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's healthier that way. But you've done a great job with the show.
Thank you.
And you're certainly welcome to stay if you want to change your mind.
I got to do something else.
Okay.
Are you going to miss getting up in the morning? Oh, you'll be up with Abigail.
I'll be up with Abigail.
Yeah.
She, you know, yesterday Lauren was at work and I told her, I was like, man, so much is changing. Mostly because of you.
Right.
Got to be honest.
Right.
It's all your fault.
Well, could you just bring Abigail here and you could still work here?
No, yeah. I mean, you guys are babysitting. Did we not? Did I not say that? Yeah.
Oh,
no,
sure.
Yeah. No, you guys are babysitting.
You can leave her here.
Yeah.
She's not very loud.
Listen, I've been doing this for a long time. I can certainly hold my granddaughter while I do the show.
And you can change the diapers too, Steve.
I can. Yeah. I won't right now, but I can. and Steve just said he was going to miss you as well. And Grzanich, I think, would back me up on this. You helped make the transition for Steve easier.
It was unbelievably easy. And it was all, you know, because of Ross. I mean, I'm not going to get to know anybody and like anybody ever again because of this.
What about the rest of us, Steve?
Well,
I don't think so, Steve. I can speak for you on this. The rest of you aren't much use.
Yeah, Ross was sort of this calming influence when we were, because Mary Sandberg, my producer for the opening bell, we were very nervous he was just a calming presence to get us all comfortable when we were starting this new thing, and we're going to miss you, buddy.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear everybody talk about you this way, not just from this chair, but also as your dad. And I'm proud of you, and I love you, and thanks for making us all better.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here, and I'll still be happy to be whenever I come back here.
Well, you are still doing Frank's show on the weekends, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to do Frank's show on the weekends, and I won't be that far because I have a whole grandchild of yours that I'll be bringing by a lot.
I feel like maybe I can leverage this a little bit because he's not going to be here every day. So maybe, you know, he'll want to see me more often. No, that's a stretch. Maybe I'll get a few more Abigail visits out of this.
Yeah, I thought when my kids moved back to Chicago that I would see them more.
Not so much?
Yeah, it doesn't happen that way.
No, thanks, Dave. Couldn't let me live in that fantasy world for a couple minutes. It's great. Burst that bubble. So, again, next hour, your new boss will be here.
My new boss will be here.
Okay. All right. And what would you like to do now since you're still producing this show?
I'd like to get to traffic. We're 4 minutes late.
It's traffic time with Mary. See why he's going to be missed. Can you imagine how this train's going to run after this?
We're doomed.
God, y'all. No pressure, Sandberg.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road.
What, are you going to play Cats in a Cradle next?
You by the rest directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
823, Dean's Entertainment is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. Dean has a significant first-world problem this morning. He's in Los Angeles in the heart of show business, needing to interview other A-list celebrities. Nobody gets more A-list celebrities than Dean. But he's not feeling well, so unfortunately he has to lounge in his Four Seasons hotel room. This is a ridiculous business. So let me start with Kristen Cavallari, and let's go live to Laguna Beach where Mary Sandberg is standing by. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
How's the weather?
It's beautiful here, Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The ocean, they're crashing. We can hear the waves crashing behind you.
I know. It's just so peaceful.
Crash.
Everyone's eating kale. Dave would love it.
It's very, very nice. All right. So what do we need to know about Mrs. Cutler?
Mrs. Cutler is going to be signing her book, Balancing in Heels, in Laguna Beach on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to be at the Grove Barnes & Noble in L.A. on Monday.
So if any of you are planning on going to L.A., to Laguna Beach or the Grove, where's the Grove?
It's in L.A. Oh, it's the mall?
Isn't that Century City? I think it's in Century City. Maybe not. But if you're in L.A. and listening this morning, that's where you need to go to see Mrs. Cutler. Why wouldn't Mrs. Cutler sign her book here?
She did in Lake Forest.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she's doing the tour, Steve.
So she broke way out of her comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Lake Forest. Okay.
Is Jay babysitting while she's in L.A.?
I assume so, but I know Sailor is traveling with her, and she's a really good, chill baby, so Kristen's very thankful for that.
Oh, good.
Live from Laguna Beach, you're Mary Sandberg?
I'm Mary Sandberg.
All right, we'll come back to the show now.
All right,
here's a couple other things you need to know. The Hulk Hogan sex tape lawsuit is going to go to the Florida jury. Dave, do you know all the details on this?
I've seen some of the coverage on TV, but I...
And then did you look away? Because I did.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to
it. Yeah, yeah. And outside of that, movies opening this weekend. I don't have the list in front of me. Does anybody remember what we were told by Nick yesterday, what movies were opening this weekend?
Well, the Pee-wee Herman one.
Oh, that's right. The new Pee-wee Herman movie.
The Big Holiday, 30 years after.
But that's a Netflix movie. Anything in the theaters?
Well, it's going to come out to the theaters as well.
It is?
Well, there's an Ice Age thing coming out, movie. And, well, that big thing on TV, The Passion, is on Sunday. That's I'm kind of interested in that. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know the story there.
It's one of those musical TV things. It's Fox's production, and Tyler Perry is narrating it. Chris Daughtry's in it. It's going to be pretty cool. It's like a musical adaptation of The Passion for Easter.
And it's out Sunday night?
That is Sunday night, yes, on Fox.
Okay, and I'm sure it'll be on demand as well. And I may be missing something, but I cannot think of a single movie this weekend that stuck in my head as a big movie coming out.
No, I don't think most of them have already come out. Like,
it's a bad time of year for movies.
The former Mrs. Ben Affleck, she stars in the movie, speaking of Christian perspective, where the kid falls out of the tree and is cured of her illness.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the title of the movie. I think it's called The Kid Fell Out of the Tree and Was Cured of Her Illness, but was still upset about Ben Affleck divorcing his wife.
That's something with the miracle.
Yeah, that's the movie.
Yeah.
So, again, this is why we need Dean. But Dean's out. So he'll be back hopefully on Monday.
Hope he's feeling better.
Yeah. And Ross leaving the show and Dean not being on the show and Kevin being in Arizona. Those are all unrelated events.
And Andrea being in Arizona.
And Andrea being gone as well. Yes, it's all unrelated. It's really painting a picture of people not wanting to work with me, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm trying to get on Ro's show.
Oh, I know what's coming out.
Well, here is an opening.
The Sally Field Show, the Doris. Hello, my name is Doris with Sally Field.
That's a TV thing, though.
No.
It's a movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. And she pays a 70-year-old woman who's never been married who falls in love with a 35-year-old.
Oh, Cougar time.
Yeah.
Cougar.
She's supposed to be really good in it.
It's actually, that's more Saber-toothed Tiger, 70-35. And is that out this weekend?
I believe so.
All right. Well, you look into
that. Starts today.
Oh, it does start today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you're 70 and want to date a 35-year-old, you should go to that movie.
Sally Field looks pretty good. She looks awesome.
Is it okay for a 70-year-old woman to date a 35-year-old
yes.
dude? Okay. But if a guy were to do it, he'd be a dirty old pervert.
He would.
Okay, just checking. I want to make sure I know.
70-year-old woman? Good for her, we say. Good for her.
Do you know, the rule is half your age plus seven. That's the low end.
Oh,
which in that case would be 42.
42, so. Oh, well.
Yeah. That's close to the number. You know, look at it this way. If you're 120, you could date a 67-year-old.
She's Gidget. Give her a break.
Is she still flying? She was a flying nun for a lot
she
of years
was.
As well.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
My friend Mark Sapels had texted me, I don't know, a week or so ago, and he said, you got to get Phil Johnston on. He said, I'm trying to get my knuckleheads over here at Channel 9 to do a feature story on him. But Phil's a guy who used to work for us in television and finally got tired of us and went off and chased his dream and is now about the hottest you can get when it comes to being a screenwriter in Hollywood, including being the co-writer of Zootopia, which I believe at last word, if you check the new box office numbers, and I'm right about this, has made $1 bazillion, Dave. And $1 bazillion is a lot of money.
$1 bazillion's a ton.
Yeah. So let's join the newly incredibly wealthy Phil. I'm surprised you're even taking our call, Phil. Good morning.
I'm counting my gold bars right now. So I have time to do that, talk to you while I do that this morning.
Congratulations on Zootopia. It really is a wonderful movie.
I thank you so much. I'm beyond gratified that it's done so well. You work on these movies for often many, many years, and you don't know necessarily if it's going to find an audience. You might think it's good, but then it's sort of like a perfect storm when it finds an audience, and it's thrilling when people like it. So I'm on cloud nine right now.
Is it hard to become a collaborative writer? Because in my head, writing is such a solitary thing. And I've certainly been in writers' rooms, you know, for sitcoms and different things. And Saturday, even Saturday Night Live, where it's mostly people yelling at each other. But but being collaborative on something as long form as a movie script, is that a tough learn?
It is. I mean, honestly, you're not wrong about people yelling at each other. It's a lot of big personalities sort of tossing around ideas. And ultimately, I mean, I like to say the movie is the thing that has to have the ego.
Right.
And so whatever the best idea is needs to win. And sometimes it's hard fought to get to that point, but it's the nature of collaboration, and animation in particular is so collaborative, because you have not just me and Jared Bush, who's the other screenwriter, but you have, you know, directors and then the artists, and everyone kind of is contributing ideas and stuff. There were over 500 people that worked on this movie, and I'm not exaggerating when I say a big percentage of them had ideas about how to make the movie better. So you kind of just have to, if you want it to be good, you have to collaborate.
And if you want to know how good Phil is, I don't even know how you pulled this off, and you must have gotten whiplash. Phil is a co-writer on Zootopia, and you're also, are you the lead writer for the Brothers Grimsby?
You know, I am. It was an idea. Brothers Grimsby is an idea I brought to Sacha Baron Cohen in 2012.
Before you say another thing, I want people to know that if you go to Zootopia or have already gone to Zootopia, the Brothers Grimsby is a very different movie.
Oh dear Lord! if you took your children to Zootopia, do not take them to Brothers Grimsby. You will be arrested by Child and Family Services, I'm sure.
And rightfully so. But the idea that you could go from one to the other, even with the timing of the projects, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, the timing of it is totally coincidental that they came out within a week of each other. That movie is something that I had taken to Sasha four years ago, I think. And yes, I am one of the writers on it, but honestly, when you work with him, it becomes about sort of servicing his singular weirdness and comic genius, or whatever you want to call it. So,
right.
I am a credited writer, but I don't know that it's my voice necessarily dominating that movie. It's very much Sasha's movie.
Based on a couple of the scenes I saw, I'm glad to hear you say that. I want to ask you about Sapelsa and your time in Chicago. Are you from here?
I'm not. I'm from Neenah, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So a few hours north.
My grandparents
lived in Skokie, Evanston, right on the border. I lived with them for a while, and I worked at WMAQ for Dick Kay, political reporter over there.
Well, you made an impression on Sapelsa, I can tell you that, because he was hawking you hard. But I got to take a quick break for traffic here, and then I want to ask you more about Zootopia, which, if you haven't seen it, and this is one of these movies, Dave, this is one of these movies where, you know, if you don't have little kids to take to this movie, you don't have to feel silly going to this movie as an adult with your wife, your girlfriend, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an entertaining film. Really entertaining, really sweet. So more on that in just a second. First, and smart, by the way, as well. It's because a lot of animation isn't. A lot of real people movies aren't. At 8:45, more with Phil in just a second here, who apparently has piped in bird sound effects for this interview as well. Nice move.
It's
by
early
you.
In Los Angeles.
I didn't know he'd have Lucasfilm working on his end of the call. It's 8:45. Before we do any more of that, let's do this. Mary, where are the cars now?
You're listening to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
The pride of Neenah, Wisconsin. Phil Johnston, co-writer of Zootopia and other Hollywood hits. On the phone with us. How do you get from Dick Kay to screenwriting?
Well, interestingly, one of the things Dick Kay taught me, he said, I don't know how this is going to answer the question. I just think it's funny. He said, if your mother tells you she loves you, check her sources. So I don't know. That's apropos of nothing. I just wanted to say that.
Well, no, I think I'll tell you what. I think it does work because it tells you to do your research.
That's right. And it absolutely figure out who you can trust for sure. But anyway, from Dick, I was an intern in college at MAQ and went on to be a news reporter for about 10 years. And I got to know Mark Sapelsa's brother, Scott, is one of my best friends, an amazing photographer. We worked together in Minneapolis for years. So I've known Mark and Scott and their family for 15, 20 years, something like that. So that's how this connection is made. As far as how I jumped out of news into film, it was just, I was going on 30 and sitting on my couch in Minneapolis with my wife one night and just said, you know, if I'm doing this, knocking on doors of people whose families members have been murdered and asking them how they feel, if I'm doing that still in 20 years, which was a lot of what the beat reporting was in local news, you know, I said, I'm going to be more self-loathing than I currently am. And we're probably not going to be married. And, you know, so it just was a soul searching thing where I said, what I've always dreamed of doing was making movies. And so it took a little coaxing of my brain, but I quit and went to pursue film.
Cedar Rapids. Here we are. Was that your break, Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, that was the first thing that got made. That was, I think it came out in 2011. We started shooting it in 2009. Yeah. And that was a smaller indie film that I wrote. I'd written a bunch of stuff by that point that got sold, but never made, which is often what happens.
There's a scene at the end of The Player, the great Tim Robbins movie, where there is a guy with a dolly, and he's wheeling a box of scripts into this warehouse, and the shot pulls back, and it's row after row after row of this giant warehouse of boxes of scripts of movies that never get made. And that's really the story, right? It's perseverance.
Oh, my. Yeah, it really is. And I think that scene you're talking about is something where you really can't think about the odds because, you know, if you looked at it, that is exactly what happens. That, you know, it's one in a thousand, one in a million. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to think about it.
Once you hit, people want to work with you, and those odds go way, way down in your favor or way up in your favor.
Absolutely. Right, for sure. And, you know, you develop relationships like anything else, and your friends suddenly become people who are making decisions, or you develop relationships with a studio, and they like what you do, and you keep doing it. Like, I'm working on my third Disney animated film right now, and it's because I love those people and respect those people so much. And it becomes like a friendship, like anything else at a certain point.
You know, when you
hope you keep fooling them.
When you write an animated movie to me, and I know nothing about it, but to me, it feels like, you know, there's a language, there's things you can say in English that don't translate to other languages. I would think there's things you could write on the page that don't translate to animation. Do you have animators go, dude, you can think about it all day long and write it down. I can't draw that.
I mean, you'd be amazed of course there are things that don't translate, but these artists are incredible. I mean, I think of myself as a visual thinker, but I can think about pictures. They can then, the things they can create, it's limitless. I think there's intelligence in both emotional intelligence of like taking an emotion of a character that you or I might do something and you're like, how do you put that on paper? How do you make art of that? But they can. So in that way, they're actors themselves. They can, because you think about it, the little animated bunnies and things have to emote human emotion. And that all comes from the animators. And it's, I don't know how they do it. They're really talented. And sometimes you have to explain like the psychology behind something, but once you do that, then suddenly they're drawing and creating emotion in a way that's just, it's unbelievable.
You get an animated con artist who's cynical. Kids don't get cynical, but kids get animated and fun and all. That's one of the reasons this movie works on so many levels. Do you have kids?
I do. I have two kids, 6 and 4.
Oh,
and
my, you must be such a rock star to them.
I mean, honestly, last weekend, my daughter, Fia, who is 6, I took all 3 of her kindergarten classes to a private screening at Disney of the movie. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was one of the greatest days of my life.
I don't doubt it.
They all liked the movie, of course, but it's one of those things where, you know, I'm proud of the other films I've worked on, including Brothers Grimsby to some extent. But, you know, when you can give this gift to your kids, it's just, I mean, honestly, it's, when I said I'm on cloud 9, I'm not kidding. It's just great. It's a perfect thing. It's a great thing to be able to do.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because it's all timing, right? But I was just talking before you came on to my son, who's been one of the producers on the show, and is leaving to do something else. And to be able to look through the glass into a booth and see him laughing at something he said, or to collaborate with him on something, is phenomenal. So, you know, on a different level, I get what you're talking about, to have your kids like something you do or be a part of it that way. So you're blessed.
Yeah, no, truly. And that's part of the thing when you're when you were going into break, talking about how bad and stupid animated and kids movies and all movies, frankly, can be a lot of the time. And when you can work on something that I think is, it has meaning and it will hopefully stand the test of time. It makes it all the more, you know, all the more important and sort of precious, as you said, you know, that I can share that with my kids, and I know it's something that will resonate with adults too. So it's good times.
I want to thank my friend Mark Sapelsa and your friend Sapelsa and for connecting us. I hope we can do this again because you're a good guy, and I love when good guys win.
I'd love to talk to you again. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate you being on. Hold on a second. Send him a Lou Malnati's pizza. Make him miss home a little bit. Let's do that for him. What a good guy, huh?
Really good guy.
And the odds that you could, even at his level, because he's a hit maker now, but the odds that you could take a movie, even if it's a great script, with all the people involved in animation, which takes years, and have it turn out as good as Zootopia, that's crazy. It just doesn't happen.
They got to see it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's good. I'll take you.
Would you?
We'll have that safety seat between us because, you know, we're guys.
Right. Would you buy me popcorn?
Totally.
Oh, you guys would be so cute sitting together in Zootopia.
Not if he does the popcorn trick, then I'm leaving. 8:59, back after this on 720 WGN. In the morning, my old friend Pat O'Brien's on the phone. Of course, a lot of you may know him as the Providence Friar. He just did a special that we missed. Here's what happened. Before I get Pat on the phone, he starts yelling at me. So we get pitched. They're called junkets. We get pitched junkets all the time. Well, look, I've known Pat forever. I'm not going to be in some 10-minute window with, you know, the Chuckle Boys from Des Moines, you know, waiting to talk to Pat, and I've got to cut off the phone call. So Kevin or somebody got a hold of Pat and said, I guess it was Ross, said, you know, Steve would like you on his show. Pat started yelling at him, just screaming at him, just bananas, threatened to kill him.
Why?
Well, again, you blew me off for the junket. All right, I may be exaggerating a little. Let's go to Pat for the actual truth here. Is that how it went down, Pat O'Brien?
You're an idiot. I mean, you'd think that there'd be some growth here. But no, Rob was very nice, and he didn't call me. He texted me like some 10-year-old, and
yes,
and then you come up with one shiny moment. Put me on. I hate that song.
I hate that song. The only thing. By the way, good morning.
Hi, buddy. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you just fine. I just figured that song must haunt your dreams.
Man. Well, every time I hear it, I think about sitting next to these idiots. you know, there's eight. I did it for 10 years, but there's eight people replaced me. Eight of them.
Right.
And I texted all of them last night, and I said, I taught you guys everything you know, but not everything I know.
Wow. Deep.
Good luck. Deep. No, I like them all.
Deep. But
the song, One Shining Moment, Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Vanilla Ice Cream Cone. he used to start crying when he heard that song.
Oh, God. Oh, geez. Let me ask you, can I ask you a Jim Nance question?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Jim Nance, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will. Jim Nance used to be a guy who would give you an opinion, give you a little flavor, give you a little something-something. He is so down the middle now. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
Okay. No,
They're also, I was told 100 times, there's a fight, don't show it. Don't talk about it. If the coach says something, don't talk about it. Of course, I talked about it, and I lasted 10 years there, you know, doing that gig.
Right.
But Jim is very I actually like Jim Nance.
Well, I'm sure he's a good person.
Right up the middle. And then the other one, Vern Lundquist.
Right.
He'll never make a call, ever. He could get hit by a car, and somebody will say, are you okay? Well, I'm not sure. We're going to have to see what the ruling is. But Vern, your right arm has been severed. Well, I don't know that yet.
That's fantastic.
But One Shining Moment was written by a kid named Dave Barnett.
Okay.
Who worked on the golf tour. Excuse me, I got a cold and I have a cough button on my phone, but I'm not going to use it.
I don't blame you.
He wrote the song, and remember the original song was "One Shining Moment." Well, it was his kid's voice, you know.
Yeah.
So I got them Luther Vandross to sing it, and there was an argument. They said, "Oh, wait, oh," and but anyway, it's a
Luther made it palatable.
Yeah, and they argued with me about that. I don't know. Do we want Luther Vandross? I said, "Yes, you do," because I've already promised it. But
I would guess that was probably a room full of white people trying to figure out the answer to that question.
Why does it have to be racial talk?
Well, as a black entertainer, I have to stick up for my people.
Why does it matter if he's black? The only guy that mattered who was black was James Brown.
Well, that's not true. I can give you a list of people. Come on. I'll get a list of people.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Your brother thinks you're a racist, by the way. But anyway, or your son, I mean.
Well, my brother may too. So.
No, listen, I got to tell you one quick thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
All the things that have happened to me. You have my book, right?
Of course.
Yeah, all the things that have happened to me in my life. I almost died just then. That. This morning, I get up. I always get up about 4:30 so I can watch the sunrise. But now it's a stupid time change. Anyway, I have about a 45-foot avocado tree in my backyard.
Wow, cool.
And so I'm sitting out sort of meditating, thinking over the world, you know, constructing my bracket for you, which I didn't have one. Mm-hmm. And I got hit on the head by an avocado. Now, when an avocado falls 40 feet, it's going to hurt.
So you got whacked in the noggin. You're not kidding. You got whacked in the noggin.
No, I'm not. No. I thought somebody come into my compound and trying to whoop me up. Anyway, what do you want to know?
I was just thinking there's a lot of people in your past that may want to hit you with an avocado, but I wouldn't think.
No, not one person. There's nobody better to work with than me, you know.
I know that, but I'm saying there are people who don't share our view.
In fact, I got a text from Jim Nance last night saying, "We miss you, buddy."
Well, that's nice.
Who says that?
And Vern Lundquist texted and said, "I'm not sure if we miss you. I got to check with Jim."
Yeah, no, Vern was at some barbecue place somewhere.
All right, so who do you like? Who do you like in this tournament?
I've got an unusual bracket. You know that we did the tournament for TuneIn Radio.
Yep.
Or TuneIn, by the way, on Sunday night. 63 million listeners. We probably got 40 million, and so it was a big deal for me.
It's a great app.
It's the greatest app ever.
Yeah,
you're on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So I...
I always start my bracket in the middle. In other words, I pick my champion first, and then I branch back.
Well, that's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Well, it's not a good idea.
Why is it not a good idea? Because I never thought of doing it that way.
Well, because I there's a particular team that I love, and I've put this team as champion three times, four in the middle, and they've won. So coming out of the South, I have Kansas,
yep,
your Jayhawks.
Yep, yep.
Coming out of the North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Coming out of the, I don't know where they are, the Midwest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State.
All right, before you announce this, I don't want to scare you, but we have the exact same Final Four so far.
Well, I'm going to guess that you took one of the big teams here on this side. Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe we're I'm going to guess you took Oregon. I took Duke.
Okay, I did not have Duke. I did have Oregon. I did have Oregon there. Yeah.
And that's a smart pick. And then I have Duke beating Kansas. And North
really?
Carolina beating Michigan State. Well, this is just my opinion. And so what we got here, Steve Cochran,
is an NC Duke.
No, we got an NC Duke. We got ourselves a Tobacco Road final.
And you got North Carolina overall?
Oh, I got Duke. I just told you, I have Duke winning a championship.
Coach K.
Did you even listen to your show?
Not that often. I got Kansas. I got Kansas, and I'm one of the few people around here that have Kansas. There's an active hatred for Kansas in the greater Chicago and Midwestern area. I don't know if you know that.
It's Kansas. But, they've got a pretty – they got to get by, you know. They had a tough bracket because Arizona, I thought, would be better, but they – wet their pants last night. Villanova is going to be tough for them. And I'll tell you, the tough team in that bracket is Hawaii.
Oh, really? You think Hawaii's got a game? Yeah. Do you agree with that, Dave Bennett?
I think Hawaii is going to be a challenge. I think Cal lost their point guard now. He's out. Their leading scorer is out, so they could very well knock off Cal today. That's a good start for
them. Yeah, I mean, outside of Villanova, Hawaii, I think, is one of the most games. Here's the problem. Is that Dave? Dave?
Yes, Pat.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
Do you know the roads? The tobacco road, the words to Tobacco Road?
I don't know all the words. No.
Okay. All right. Then. All right. Then get off. Okay. Now, Stevie. No, I mean, Dave, do you agree with me that I think one of the reasons there's so much parity? Of course, Cochran just took the simple teams. And by the way, that's a smart move. You should always take three of the number one seeds to the final and then try to find somebody that can squeeze through. Duke now, after they beat Yale tomorrow, has an easy road. I swear to God, I think they can beat Oregon. They get the best coach. I mean, when you come out of a timeout and you're down, you score 14 points in a row and no answer, that's good coaching. But we did a show Sunday night from Austin, South by Southwest. What a mess. Oof. I tell you, when you go there and don't drink, you realize why you don't drink.
So you didn't like it. So.
Hey, Pat!
and that was
who do you like, Pat?
And that was on TuneIn. Are you doing more for TuneIn, or is that to be determined?
I got so many jobs right now. I don't know what to do.
It's so weird.
What?
I used to be able to have one job, two jobs. Now everybody's got to have nine jobs.
Well, they're not all. I mean, one job is an hour show. Another job is an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. It's not exactly a 40-hour week.
Right. You know? Right.
But it's smart to take those number one seeds. And the reason, Dave, is Dave still on?
I'm still here, Pat. Yes.
Okay. Do you? Well, geez, you don't have to. Wow. A little temper?
No, not at all. No.
Are you bipolar?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what's funnier to me. I don't know what's funnier to me, when Pat rips me or when Pat rips you.
Yeah. Seriously, I think because of the conference realignments and so much basketball, I'm being kind of serious now, that these teams never see each other more than once, if at all, during the season.
Right.
And so you have no gauge. Like, you know, Nobody watched tape of Wichita State. I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, those guys are good. So there's a lot of teams, and I don't think there's going to be a 16-1 upset, unless there has been. Fell asleep.
No, there was not. But yeah. I think there will eventually there will be one. Just because, I mean,
well, there's zero for 124 days.
Right. But it's just because of, I think your point is eventually it'll spread to that 16-1 because, I mean, look at Purdue and Arkansas Little Rock. That was turned out to be a really bad matchup for Purdue. And at some point, there'll be a number one seed. It'll end up against the 16 seed and face a team that, yeah, I know it's a stretch. It could be 10 years from now, but I think it will happen.
And you know what? You know why that is? Why there's so much parity?
Why?
Is Cochran still here? Or did he just leave?
Yeah. he is.
Yes, Dave, Pat. Yes, Dave, Pat. Why is there so much parity?
Dave, I didn't call to talk to you.
No, I'm sorry. I'll
quite honest. Well, I mean.
Why is there so much parity?
Respect. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is the reason.
Well, let me finish. No, seriously, I believe that when Michael Jordan was big, I believe he played in Chicago, right?
Yeah, he did have a decent run here.
That more kids started playing basketball. You know, I always judged sports by what I saw in the courts in New York City when I go there every week.
Yeah, of course.
And after Jordan came in, every kid was playing basketball. Before that, it was football or baseball, Yankees, this and that. And then so more younger kids got into basketball because of Jordan and the likes. And that's why you have these great kids at these small schools. I mean, they actually grew up with the game, and they know how to play. They can't hang on to the ball, but they know how to play.
What's the title of your book, Pat O'Brien?
I'll be back right after this. Just came out in paperback, shot up again on the New York Times bestseller. I'll be back right after this.
That's great.
Right after this part. So right after this part, that's frightening.
No. Let me tell you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's all in there. And nobody's done more than Pat O'Brien. Pat O'Brien is the Forrest Gump of pop culture, sports, show business, entertainment, politics. He's done it all. He can quit right now. He's done it all.
By the way, Frank Sinatra told me never to drop names, but Tom Hanks actually said that to me. I'd love to make a movie about you, but I've already done it. It's called Forrest Gump.
Well, that's a pretty good compliment, actually, isn't it?
Nah, it's not bad.
That's my friend Pat O'Brien. He got whacked in the head by an avocado this morning, and he
avocado.
Still came to play.
I did. I'm going to cut that tree down today. Just as a
No, don't do that. The tree didn't mean it.
No, you're right.
All right, give me the big out. Give me the big broadcaster out like you're still working at Channel 5 in Chicago.
This is Pat O'Brien reporting live. Live for the Steve Cochran Show. Stay with us.
He's the best. There were a couple other teams I don't think we got to in the mascot stuff this morning, Dave. Do you know what the Utah Utes name comes from?
I thought it was...
And by the way, Pat O'Brien's not on hold, so we can't yell at you anymore.
Yeah, I always liked Pat.
Obviously, you angered him
somehow.
My
dealings with him in the past were always pleasant.
No, I don't think so.
We were in Norway together.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
The Utes. Do you know what the Utes is?
I thought it was related to Native Americans.
It is.
Okay.
Native American tribe, the Utes. Mm-hmm. Of Utah.
Okay.
How about the Syracuse Orange?
I know there's a lot of... Well, they were the Orange Men, and mm-hmm. they dropped the men a number of years ago since all of their sports teams were orange.
It turns out that the Syracuse colors were pink and blue until the class of 1890 was too embarrassed to wear them. And that's when they became orange, and orange is... The color orange alone is the only one not claimed by any other university when it's just orange.
Yeah, because Illinois wears orange, but they're orange and blue. Yeah,
orange and blue?
Yes.
Yes.
You sure, Mayor?
Last time I checked.
How about the Aggies from Texas A&M?
Well, it's Texas Agricultural and Mining.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, they were going to call it the Texas A&M Orions. But licensing Orion's name is very expensive.
I think that would be hard to do.
Bearcats of Cincinnati?
I don't even know what a bearcat is.
No one does. It's supposedly a forceful person with great energy. Began around 1910 when somebody was drinking wine. University of North Carolina at Wilmington Seahawks?
that's the team that lost to Duke yesterday. I don't know.
They won a name contest, and nobody had the energy to change it, even though they didn't like the winner.
Really?
University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, Phoenix.
Mythical creature.
Phoenix only received 125 of the 600 votes in the school's nickname contest in May of 1970, but it was announced as the winner because the actual winner was the Flying Tomatoes, and the school refused to adopt it.
Oh, how cool would that have been?
There you go, a little mascot stuff for you for the tournament. 9:33, sponsored by Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic. It is time for the big story.
We got bills, they're multiplying, and our credit scores are low. I can't believe we cannot refi. We just don't qualify. You better wise up, because we need a plan. Those folks at Pearl know what to do. You better call now.
You better call now.
And get that Hochberg man. What he says we know is true.
Call him now. Call him now. That's what to do.
You can ask him right now. 720. You can ask him right now. 720.
That's the I love theme from David Hochberg. Right, you might be saying, Steve, wasn't Hochberg on the show earlier this week?
Steve, wasn't Hochberg on the show earlier this week?
He's back this morning.
Oh,
I don't
is.
Want you to think mortgages have dropped to 0% or gone up to 10%. The reason he's here is because, for those of you who are wondering, well, I heard Ross Cochran's leaving the show. Where's he going? Where's he going, David?
He's going to be working in our Grand Avenue as an opener at Pearl Mortgage starting on Monday and be on a track to become a loan officer in the not-too-distant future.
How about that?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Now, I'll tell you, this is how it works amongst friends. David called me and he said, I want to make his son an offer. And I said, is it an offer he can't refuse? He goes, I've seen what you pay him. I believe that it is.
Exactly. I don't know how he'd lived off of that. But, yeah, he's actually going to be making a livable income that he could feed his family and get off of your payroll.
Well, so. No, it's funny you say that because we talked about that. But one of the things, and David, I told you this as well, Dave Bennett, this is one of the reasons, you know, your kid doesn't need you as much. Because he came to me, and all the things were in my head when he wanted to discuss. I told you this on the phone.
Right.
All the things were in my head when he wanted to talk about whether or not he should take the job that you brought up were said by him before I had to say any of them. So I knew he had processed it. I knew he'd thought it out. You know, and I wasn't that insulted that he wanted to leave the show. Ross, I've been around since you showed up, as
That's
you know.
That's true. That's true.
And I never saw you getting into the high finance world, but yeah. I know you'll be great at it.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to working for Hochberg. And
you should say Mr. Hochberg when you're on the air.
That's probably. Right. And seeing his bright, sunshiny face most mornings.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I know what you do for people, and I know how you bring people in and teach them the biz. So I wouldn't encourage my son to work for too many people, but I appreciate it.
I appreciate the confidence and... Listen, I brought it to his attention. You know, we were talking one day about 400 things, and I'm like, hey, you know, what's your career trajectory? You know, where do you see yourself? And I wasn't selling him. I was just asking him conversation.
And then I started laughing when he said career trajectory.
Exactly, because those three-syllable words are really difficult for
right,
me.
Right, right.
And asked me to spell it, forget about it. But I could barely say the damn thing. And, you know, we started talking driving home one day. Actually, we were talking about Doyle, Mark Doyle. We were
yes.
talking about
yeah. Mutual friend, Rags
yeah.
of Honor.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about...
Rags of Honor.us.
Rags of Honor.us, ding. And, you know, about the realty business and how we were going to start converting... beat up homes into affordable housing for homeless veterans with families
right.
to get their families together. And, you know, it was the first time I really had an in-depth conversation with Ross driving home. And I'm just like, hey, you know, where you think you're going? What's going on? If you're ever thinking about it and you're interested, let me know. You know, it was just like I just threw it out there and he calls me back, you know, a couple hours later. And he's like, you know what? I thought about it and I'm really interested. I said, okay. So, you know, we set up a lunch with two of my top guys. It started at his age in their mid-20s. We went over to, you know, Portillo's because I only, feed my guys the best.
Right, right. You want to take them out to the nice place.
Right. One of them, five-star.
You want to take them to a place they'll be able to afford until they hit.
Five-star restaurants.
Right.
And of course, we walk in, and the most beautiful woman in the entire restaurant runs up to him and starts a conversation. I'm like, oh, yeah, as if this isn't the plant, right? All of a sudden,
a friend of mine from Bradley, which is also where one of Kevin from Pearl Mortgage went to, recognized me at Portillo's.
Right. It's only because I know how much you love your wife that I totally believe that story.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm like, oh, this is like as if this is just a like.
I told her afterwards. I was like, thanks for making me look good. For this
The hottest woman in the entire place. So, I sat down and I'm like, talk to these guys, ask them anything you want to ask them. And I said, you better make sure that this is what you want to do. Because I don't need the blowback from your dad blowing that up.
Right.
Because
I called David and I said, are you sure this is something you want to do?
Exactly. And, he came back to me and we sat there for an hour and a half and he asked great questions. And it's nice to find a millennial, right? Somebody in their 20s that doesn't think that they ought to start at third base and that they're entitled to start at third base and get a $75,000 a year salary.
Right. Who actually wants to work.
Who actually gets up early in the morning, who's got a family. It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's an attaboy to Ross and, the way that you and your wife brought him up and all that. He's got a great work ethic and he wants to learn something. And if you want to learn this business that we do, listen, the best time to get in is when everybody's getting out. And we're not bringing any young people into our business. And I'm turning 50 at the end of the year. I can't keep up this pace. And I'm bringing in young professionals, training them over the next couple of years. And, the phones are ringing. We're getting 40, 50 phone calls a day, which is great. And I need people to process those phone calls.
Well, and I would leave it and end it at this, the compliment for Pearl Mortgage, because you joined that company for a reason. And
yeah,
I know you're reinventing some systems and things and your way of doing things as well, but it's a business that in a lot of cases can fall into a rut and do it the same way because it was always done that way, and you're not doing that.
No,
so
thank you. We're turning it on its head. We're training people, bringing them up, and it's a great opportunity for him, and we're excited to have him.
And son, I love you. I'd run in front of a bus for you, even if Hochberg was driving it.
That might still happen. I haven't started yet.
But it's something I've never said on the air, at least. But I respect you as a dad to do this for your family as well, because taking on a brand new business, it's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Anything you'd like to say to the GM listeners before we tell you to shut up?
Oh, man, that has been crazy. It has been the nicest the internet has ever been to watch the amount of support that these guys have had for me. With no matter what I was doing with the baby and with every time I come on, them talking about how great it is. So thank all of you listeners. Thank the show for treating me like a producer, not like the coach's son. Mm-hmm. It's been great, and I'm looking forward to starting at Pearl. I'll be happy to be there on Monday.
And to Todd and Jimmy for letting you work here.
And for Todd and Jimmy for letting me work here.
Sure,
and for Stephanie for cleaning up after Todd and Jimmy.
Exactly. The real brains of the operation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So, and Ross will still be producing Frank's show on the weekend and doing podcasts and things. So he's still going
to
be reaching.
And he'll still go to Starbucks for us?
Yes, Dave. Yes, each morning on his way to Pearl, he'll come by and make a Starbucks run.
Perfect. Go Cats.
Now,
Dave doesn't even get a little vacation before he starts. He's got to start Monday away.
Yeah, he'll have the weekend off, and don't worry about it. Okay, you got traffic.
Take it a couple days at least.
I got it covered there, sweetheart. Don't worry about it. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Dave Edda, we want to thank Office Designs in Northbrook because our posteriors haven't felt this good in a long time.
Oh, this is great.
Dave and I had a chair off where we each selected chairs. They brought 11 in. We seat tested them, and now we've got a full cornucopia of butt love going on in the studio. I mean, these are great, great chairs.
I'd really like to take this chair home every night.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
I'm afraid it won't be here Monday morning.
What kind of cornucopia is it?
A cornucopia.
What
I said before, you've already got on tape.
Oh, okay.
Office Designs in Northbrook. Thank you, Office Design.
This is the first time I've come in here and almost not gotten a concussion falling backwards in a chair.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I want for all the guests that come in here, thank you, Office Designs in Northbrook, my hometown, for saving head injuries for all the guests on WGN Radio.
Chairs fitting this radio station, this show, and this studio. So there you go. All right, you want to do the Hockopedia? Let's do the Hockopedia. Ready?
Sure.
Let's do the Hockopedia. Why not? Let's go ahead. Can we do the Hockopedia? Let's do the Hockopedia.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Your Hawkopedia, where you learn stuff about your Chicago Blackhawks, sponsored by Freshway, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks. If you can take an NHL player and make them stink less, they can certainly take the odor off of you. Hey, that's their new slogan.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you have for us?
Well, how about homecoming? Tonight's game in Winnipeg, it's a homecoming or a reunion, depending on your point of view. As usual, when the Blackhawks play in Winnipeg, they're meeting up with some familiar faces, though not quite as many as in the past. Andrew Ladd was a Winnipeg Jet. In fact, last time the Blackhawks played there, Ladd scored the game winner for the Jets in a 3-1 victory for the home team. Now he returns as a member of the Blackhawks, and he'll face his former team in his ninth game back with the Hawks. So far since the return of Ladd, the Blackhawks are 3-4-1. Of course, tonight's also homecoming for Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews, who hails from Winnipeg. And it's a reunion with a couple other former Hawks, Dustin Byfuglien, a member of the 2010 Stanley Cup champs, and Marco Dano, who was traded for Ladd after being traded to the Blackhawks last summer in the Brandon Saad deal with Columbus. And Dano appears to have found a home in Winnipeg with 5 points, including 3 goals, in his last 5 games. So homecoming tonight for the Blackhawks. And one other note, a bonus note in today's Hawkopedia. Happy birthday to the Stanley Cup. On this date in 1892, Sir Frederick Arthur Stanley proposed the creation of the Silver Chalice that has taken up semi-permanent residence in Chicago. So happy birthday.
That's a loaded Hawkopedia. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. I forgot the name of these guys. Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's pain. I'm gonna need someone to hold me down. I'm gonna need someone to care.
It's Friday somewhere. Mary Sandberg has been doing a nice job of picking up producer duties on the show after doing her normal opening bell stuff. And she's also fun to look at no matter what hour of the day is, so that helps because most of the people who work here, you know, at that hour in the producer's booth. Woo, woo, woo. Not my son, but, you know, Mike, Kevin, those types. All right, Mary, how are you?
Good. It's funny that you should mention that. Because Pat said, do you really need to blow dry your hair at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Pat, by the way, would be Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. Your man.
My man.
Yeah. Mary, did you get the note from the very funny 660 texter? It said, Steve, it would make you feel good to send me a pizza. And they sent 3 or 4 more texts. Steve, send me a pizza. Like they're hypnotizing me. So send him a pizza. I like that kind of guts.
Yeah.
All right. Who do we need to plug?
Cooper's Hawk.
Oh, did they send a spread today?
Holy mackerel. It is some ahi, sashimi tuna, Brussels sprout salad, prime sirloin, salmon and kale. There's also an upside down key lime pie, which is my favorite.
And a holy mackerel in there, too.
And they also brought some wine pairings. So,
wine pairings, dessert wines.
Pinot Grigio.
That's where we're going afterwards.
Creme brulee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or is creme brulee playing the Hawks tonight? I don't know.
No. There's a s'mores Blandino.
Bread there. Cooper's Hawk.
Right now, we've just looked at it because we can't eat until after the show. So.
Right. You know my rules. Anything else we need to plug?
No, just Ross Cochran.
Yes, we did. Yes, we should. And David Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage, who has been stealing employees here since he went over there. He's hired Russ, and you guys are going to be great together. And that's all good. But I want to make sure people knew how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. If you want to reach us, 312-751-1333, 312-751-1333. You could also go to, of course, WGNDavid.com and apply for an application, free consultation, or just send us an email from there.
Bill and Wendy, 60 seconds. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Fantastico. Happy Friday.
And congratulations to all of us on our new chairs from Office Designs in Northbrook.
Aren't they nice? Aren't they nice?
Yeah, I said something before. I have to re-edit. I just want you to know my backside hasn't been this happy in years.
You would think with all of us feeling more comfortable, the quality of the shows would go up. I have not heard any evidence of that.
Oh, really?
Whatever.
I felt pretty good about today until you brought that up. what are you doing today?
Missing Ross.
Yeah.
We are very, very, very missing him already.
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah. But, you know, we all have to move on.
Yeah.
So.
And we all have to move away from Dad once in a while.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
This is weird. I'm actually just Bill and Wendy just offered me to be their producer, so
not
I'm actually not going to do. Oh shoot!
For 80 cents more a week, and he said, "Yeah, are you kidding?
Wow.
I'm in."
This is a shock.
His new phrase: "I'm excited to be here."
Yeah. Apparently, this whole thing was just to have Hochberg get rid of a guy he didn't know how to fire because he's sending him over. It was a trade for Ross. Somebody that worked there at Hochberg wasn't getting it done.
We've got Adam LaRoche's son sitting in with us today. Drake will be here.
Are you being serious?
No.
Because that would be a get.
It would be the best get.
I tried to find him on Facebook. I couldn't find him.
Well, you know, at this point, I said this earlier, we got to get the kid out of this story.
Right.
Because the kid's got to have it rough in the neighborhood now, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine in his soul, somebody texted, you're the one responsible for your dad retiring from Major League Baseball. And you didn't even do anything.
No, but then I go back to Adam LaRoche's quote that we're not really a school family.
Right.
You know how many times I've tried to say that? Authorities, they frown upon
that. They do frown upon it. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you, buddy.
No problem, Pops.
Tell Abigail and Lauren thanks as well, and I'll see you guys back here Monday.